This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll hear about a Democratic proposal to replace the state's job agency, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
First, a proposal from a Republican state lawmaker would allow the governor to appoint the state school superintendent instead of citizens voting to fill the position.
The proposal would require a change of the Wisconsin Constitution, which currently establishes a statewide election for superintendent every 4 years. In order to become a reality, the proposal would have to pass two consecutive legislative sessions and a statewide referendum.
We'll talk to two guests on this topic today. Representative Joe Sanfilippo is first. He's the Republican lawmaker who's sponsoring the proposal. He represents Wisconsin's 15th Assembly District, which includes New Berlin. Representative Sanfilippo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So the basics, why the change? Why do we need to change the way we select our state school's superintendent?
Well, I think if you take a look at our schools, our public schools around the state, we barely have 37% of our kids at the proficient level in reading, and that's not a very high bar. And so if you feel that that's adequate and you're satisfied with those results, then you probably think we don't need to make a change. But I'm not satisfied. I think we can do much better, and I think that we need to make a change at the top and at the structure of the entire DPI infrastructure, decentralize a lot of this power that's been amassed in Madison and send it back to the school districts. And the way to start with that is to make this appointment or this position a cabinet appointment just like all the other state agencies.
So lay out the nuts and bolts for us, please. If this went through the constitutional amendment process, what would happen? What would change?
Well, again, I think you're going to increase the accountability to have a superintendent who's in a cabinet-level position, because right now, any time the governor or legislature has wanted to make changes in the past, and this goes beyond, you know, this isn't just about this superintendent. This goes with the position as it's been for several decades. When changes have tried to be made in the past, you've had the superintendent kind of leaning on the Constitution as a crutch, saying, you guys can't tell me what to do over there in the legislature because I'm separately elected, so I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. So you have kind of this breakdown of cohesiveness in between the legislature and the governor who set policy and charge the taxes to the citizens that support the school district and then support the school system, and then the person who ultimately runs the school system. So I think it's important to just create this for a cohesive nature, to create this back in a created as a cabinet position and increase the level of accountability.
Well, the idea of the elected position, as I understand it, would be that the superintendent is accountable to the voters who can fire him or her every 4 years, and to insulate the education policy from the whims of partisan politics. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, I don't think, first of all, that we're taking anything away from the voters, because this would be done in a constitutional amendment, which, as you know, requires the approval of the voters. So the voters would be approving to turn this into a cabinet position. They're going to have direct say. So you can't get more democratic than putting it in the hands of the voters as to do we want to make a change. But I think the fundamental question here, you know, even though the question is do we amend the Constitution to change the superintendent, the fundamental question here is, are you happy with the state of our public school systems, or do you think we can do better? And if you're satisfied with two-thirds of the kids in our state not being able to read proficiently, then you're going to be okay with the status quo and want to keep it. But if you, like us, think that there's room for improvement, then I think you're going to want to make a change.
Would it be a sure thing, though, that the appointee of a Republican governor, as it stands now, or a Democratic governor would necessarily do something better, or would they just be pursuing the partisan agenda, Democrat or Republican, of whoever appoints them?
No, I don't think that you're going to have politics into this at all. In fact, if you take a look over the last half century, we've had 10 different governors. 5 were Republicans, 5 were Democrats. So this really looks like a pretty fair and balanced approach to being able to track the superintendent. But when you vote for governor, the governor is basically in charge of the operations of the state. So it really doesn't make sense to have one of the most important agencies that I would argue, which is educating our children, just completely outside of the reach of the governor. And, you know, and again, whether you're a Republican governor or a Democrat governor, you're going to want to make sure that you're providing the best opportunity for education for your kids, for the kids in the state. And that governor and legislature are going to face the public much more frequently and in much more heavily turnout voter elections than does the superintendent currently.
We're talking to Wisconsin Assembly Representative Joe Sanfilippo. He's a Republican from New Berlin, and he is proposing a change in the way Wisconsin selects the head of the Department of Public Instruction. Currently, as the Constitution stands, that's an elected office. Under this change, if the Constitution were changed, this would be appointed by the governor. Let me put an asterisk on that, appointed by the governor. As I understand the proposal, Representative Sanfilippo, there would be some legislative oversight or a chance for a do-over from lawmakers. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that you have almost a vote of no, you know, we have the ability to have a vote of no confidence, really, in the legislature, that if the legislature is not satisfied with the way the cabinet head is performing their duties, they can go to the governor and say that, you know, a change needs to be made. So, you know, I think it's important to look in the whole context of this is that, you know, there's only 12 states in the country that elect a superintendent of their schools. And so that's something that, you know, what we're doing really is kind of outside of the norm to begin with. And of the states that do elect a superintendent, nearly half of those states with elected superintendents are in the top 10 worst school performing school systems in the country. So there is some correlation here to having an appointed position, so you get a qualified person with the credentials to actually run the school system, and having better achievement with your students.
Well, Wisconsin does well in some measures of achievement. I mean, there are racial disparities that a lot of people point toward, but in ACT scores, we're usually in the top number two or number three in the country, so it's not all bad under the current system, is it?
No, there's definitely some bright spots that are emerging, but the problem is they're taking years and years to emerge. And I think that, you know, again, take a look at our graduation rates. They're especially horrendous in our urban centers, which are primarily minority and children of poverty-stricken families. And so we're not doing them any good in getting themselves to be able to lift themselves out of the poverty if we're not getting them to graduate school, we're not getting them to be able to read, their math scores are subpar. And it's just, you know, it seems to me that DPI over the last few decades has been willing to just sit back and accept the status quo and not demand more changes. And again, whenever the governor and legislature have tried to make improvements, they have rebuffed those improvements just using the Constitution as a crutch to lean on.
Well, the current DPI superintendent, Tony Evers, has asked for more resources. He's come on the show saying that they've been cut a little short in some of the districts you've mentioned by the executive branch. What solutions do you think that have been proposed has he shot down on his end?
Well, I think Tony Evers is using a false premise. He's trying to say that there's some correlation between the amount of money spent on education and the achievements realized. And there is no study or report in this country that definitively says the amount of money spent on education leads to or has an effect on the achievement or the results of the students. In fact, here in Wisconsin, we're one of the highest spending per pupil in the country, yet we don't rank near the top in the results. And when you look at those that do rank near the top, some of them are some of the lower spending ones. And so that's just a false premise on his part. And again, it's another avenue that he's been able to take their failures and pass them off on the legislature and the governor as though somehow it's our problem, when we really don't have the control, because he's in complete charge of that department. We can't say or do anything to make him do one thing or another, but yet when they're falling on their face and they're failing to educate our children, he turns around and blames it on the legislature and the governor, and that's just not true.
So you've unveiled this legislation for a constitutional amendment. What kind of reaction are you getting so far from fellow lawmakers who'd have to support you in passing this once and then again?
Yeah, I think I've had a lot of positive feedback. You know, this is something that I hadn't discussed with anybody before I put this out. I've been thinking about it and researching it. This is going to be one of a host of DPI reform bills that I'm going to be rolling out over the next few weeks. And we've had a lot of positive feedback because I think overall, when you take a look at the jobs that we have available right now in this state, we've got over 80,000 jobs that we're trying to fill. And we cannot fill them, and a large part of that is because we're not educating our children and giving them the foundation that they need to be able to go in and get these good family-supporting jobs. And it really is just a shame. And again, when you look at our larger urban areas, you see this cycle of poverty that just goes over and over and over, and it starts with an education.
And Representative Sanfilippo, before we let you go, do you have a timeline in mind for getting this constitutional amendment through the whole process?
Well, as you know, we're going to have to pass it through two sessions, and then it goes to the public. So, I mean, this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to be several years if this were to come to fruition. But the important part is for us to start taking some action right now and start talking about this and other measures that we need to do to make some improvements in our educational system. Because as we talk to experts out in the field, our workforce is shrinking dramatically, and we are having a void in being able to fill these positions. And so it's going to be in the best interest of not only individuals themselves, but of the state as a whole to make sure that we have kids with a good education that are able to go out there and fill these jobs. And right now, 37% reading proficiency is not going to do it.
Representative Sanfilippo, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Representative Joe Sanfilippo, Republican representing Wisconsin's 15th Assembly District, which includes New Berlin. He's with us to talk about his proposal to allow the governor to appoint the state's school superintendent.
We're picking up our discussion now about a proposal to change the Wisconsin Constitution to allow the governor to choose the state school superintendent instead of keeping the job an elected post. We just heard from Representative Joe Sanfilippo, the lawmaker behind that proposal.
Now, Reed Riggle joins us. He's co-chair of the Teacher Education Program at St. Norbert College and president-elect of the Wisconsin Association of Colleges for Teacher Education. Reed, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll invite listeners to join in. What do you think of this idea? Replace elections with appointment by the governor for state superintendent. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Reed, your first reaction when you heard about this proposal, what did you think?
Well, it seems to be an attempt to remove from the public the right to choose who leads our school system. So constitutionally, we've long had the right as citizens of Wisconsin to elect the leader of our public school system. And, you know, that fits into our democratic structure. And it gives voters every 4 years, you know, the chance to say this person is doing a good job or this person is not doing a good job. And make that decision themselves. And I think in a system that is based on local control, that's an important attribute to have. And education is a state's rights issue, and so the state leader of education is critical to the education system in the state of Wisconsin.
And we heard from Representative Sanfilippo saying, in effect, this is an inefficiency. You've got an extra layer. Anytime you want to change something, you have one party or the other who can block things. Why not make it more efficient, have it appointed by the governor, have everybody on the same page on schools policy? What's wrong with that idea?
Well, again, another basic democratic principle, separation of powers, right? That if you allow for an appointed position, then you are centralizing power in the governor or the legislature, and there's no counterbalance for that power. There's you know, and so the issue becomes that you may politicize the process, and not necessarily so, but you know, there's a distinct possibility that an appointee by the governor would then be beholden to the governor to do what the governor wants to do rather than an independent voice saying, you know, this is a better policy than what the governor has in mind.
And the representative made the case that Wisconsin schools not doing that great. He cited low numbers and some standardized tests. So when it comes to reading proficiency, for example, the idea that, in a sense, Wisconsin schools are failing more or less. So how do you evaluate the state is a big question here, the state of Wisconsin's schools and the outcomes for students?
Right. Well, I think that's he talked about, you know, a sort of a false premise. I think that's a false premise, that schools are failing. And to focus in on a single number like that doesn't capture the complexity of what's going on in our education systems. The reality is that schools are situated in communities, and the children who come to those schools are coming from those communities, and they're bringing with them all of the qualities and characteristics that are developed within that community setting. So as Superintendent Evers would tell you, we have the biggest achievement gap or opportunity gap in Wisconsin than any other state in the nation. He has a task force right now that's working on that, made up of educational leaders from across the state. And you know, the problem there are systemic in part maybe from the school system, but they're embedded within communities, right? The poverty doesn't exist in the schools. The poverty exists in the communities, and then the children who live in poverty come to the schools. And so it's a false premise to think that schools can address all of the ills of a community simply by educating children. And so I think that's a fundamental challenge. Should we be doing better? Of course, always. We want to raise the proficiency of all of our children, and that's another piece of the equation. We're trying to educate every child at a high level. And so that challenge alone is different than what some other nations try to do. You know, they may shift kids off into different tracks and not necessarily try to get every child up to a level so that they can be a productive citizen as we do. So I think the important thing is that we're trying to do something that's very challenging in a context in which the social structure of our society presents us with some challenges as educators.
Talking to Reed Riggle from St. Norbert College about a proposal to change Wisconsin's constitution, let the governor appoint the head of the Department of Public Instruction instead of an election every 4 years. We'll go to our callers now with Ann on the line in Green Bay. Ann, hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. I would just like to say how completely opposed I am to this proposal to change the constitution. This is simply one more ploy by the Democratic Assembly or by the Republican Assembly to take the people and the public out of public education. And unfortunately, I think there is a potential that this will get some traction among certain people, but your current guest accurately pointed out all the flaws in the logic. There are pockets of schools in Wisconsin who are struggling, but for every school that's struggling, you can point to other schools that are far exceeding national standards. And just take a look at AP test scores. Take a look at performance on other standardized tests that compares Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa consistently among the top achieving states in academics compared to other states.
And thanks a lot for the call. Reed Riggle, thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a very good way to put that. You know, of course, if you're going to distill things down to a single number, you're washing out some of the complexity in what's really going on there. And we do have many schools and communities where things are very, very successful. And that's sort of what I meant, that the pockets or the localized issues are based on those community issues. And if you take a more community-based approach, don't expect schools to solve all the ills of society, but address it in a more holistic fashion and say, well, schools will be part of the answer, but they won't be the answer.
Thanks a lot for the call, Ann. Nick is with us next in Greenfield. Nick, hi.
Yeah, hi, and thanks for taking my call. I've got 3 points here to make. First of all, San Filippo said that more money won't make schools better. actually, that's a bald-faced lie, because more money would pay for smaller classes and for more teaching assistants, which would definitely improve education. Second of all, the Wisconsin legislature, just like your previous caller said, is trying to starve the public school system by cutting more and more money away from it. And last but not least, San Filippo is just a mouthpiece for Scott Walker and the American Legislative Council, and that is a think tank group.
Nick, I want to bring Reed Riggle in for a response to that that second point. This is just trying to concentrate power in the hands of the governor. Do you think ultimately, Reed, that would affect the quality of education in Wisconsin that much?
I don't think there's any question. I think we have to remember this is public education. And when forces beyond the public begin to have influence over the process, then we begin to lose the public education piece. Let's be clear. Education is a public good. It is the foundation of our culture. It's the foundation of our society. And we have to treat it as such. It's not a commodity. It's a public good. And so we, the people, should have the right to protect that public good.
And then as we wrap up, do you think this is going to fly? I know you study education more than the politics of Wisconsin, but are you concerned that this might actually come to fruition?
Well, I hope not. The unfortunate thing, of course, is the math. If you look at the legislature, if it runs along party lines, whatever they want to pass right now, they're going to pass because the Republicans have control of the legislature and the governorship. So, you know, the good news is that if it does happen, again, which I hope it doesn't, it will, because it's in the Constitution, it will come to the people for a vote. And I hope the people would see that this would remove their opportunity to control something that's very important. And I would hope they would choose not to support such an amendment to the Constitution.
Reed, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Reed Riggle, co-chair of the Teacher Education Program at St. Norbert College, president-elect of the Wisconsin Association of Colleges for Teacher Education, talking about the proposal to allow the governor to choose the head of the state's Department of Public Instruction instead of voters electing that position. We also heard from the sponsor of that constitutional amendment, Representative Joe Sanfilippo.
Coming up, we'll hear about a proposal to replace the state's jobs agency, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.